We're going to be reading together from a few verses in Matthew chapter 7. There are so many places in the Scriptures that show us the great love of our God and His compassion toward us and His desire to help us and to hear from us. And this is one such passage where Jesus speaks about asking and seeking and knocking. Jesus says, beginning there in verse 7, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, or everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? And if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" So Jesus here speaks about the Father in heaven that we have and then asks us to consider, you know, even those of you here, he says, who are fathers. How would you be with your children? And so he says, just reason that through for a moment. It's a wonderful privilege to think about the fact that as Christians, we can speak words that our Heavenly Father will hear. We can even just think thoughts that our Heavenly Father will receive. And that as we pray, that He hearkens unto our words and will answer our prayers and grant the things that we have petitioned Him concerning. Now, we know throughout the Bible there are many things that we read that God's servants have prayed concerning from ancient times, from the very beginning of creation, that God would go to man and speak to man. And we pray for ourselves in time of struggle, whether it be health struggles, it might be financial difficulties, it might be relationship problems that we are having, all kinds of things. There are the spiritual needs that we have. We pray for the church. We pray for brethren in different parts of the world going through very trying times. We're told to pray for our leaders that we might enjoy peace. All kinds of things are included. But he addresses here the need for us to take action. It's not the case that just because God is all-knowing and God knows what we need and God is a loving God, therefore, what's the point in even asking? He knows what I need anyway. We're told to petition Him. We're told to communicate with our Father. A lot of times we as parents, we know the things that our children need, but we want to hear from our children. We want to converse with our children. We want our children to come to us with problems and difficulties because we love them and we want to help them. It's our desire to make their lives better and to offer them the help that we can provide. And God is that way as well. And so he says with these words of assurance, because think about the promise that is tied to what Jesus says here. Ask, he says, and it will be given you. He says, seek, and you will find. He says, knock, and it will be open to you. So he's affirming that if we approach God and we make the petition, that God is there to hear and to heed, to respond affirmatively to the things that we petition God in regard to. Now, we know the sum of the Scriptures presents us with the whole truth, and we know that God does not teach that anything we desire, it's going to be handed right there to us. That, you know, if I see a nice car driving down the road and I just ask Him for that, well, guess what? It's going to show up. It's not that kind of a thing, is it? Because it's true, James chapter 4, that we can ask amiss, not in a proper way, that we might just actually be trying to gratify ourselves. It's not about that. There are things that are proper to pray for. Jesus, in fact, in this same Sermon on the Mount, taught his disciples that it's appropriate to pray for your daily bread, for your needs. And that's absolutely true. And we know that spiritual needs ought to be prayed for as well. All of that is certainly fitting. But Jesus, when he affirms in verses 7 and 8 that God does answer prayer, he then urges us to think about this, that we ourselves, because we are loving, will provide for our own. He talks about the man whose son might ask for bread or fish. And you're going to give him that which is beneficial to him and not something that's harmful to him. Because you love your children. So you're going to provide. Therefore, if you then being evil, in other words, we as human beings, guilty of sin, often we fall short, often we don't do everything that we should for our children or with the right attitude that we should for our children. Sometimes we fall short, but even we, in our own struggles to be the parents that we want to be, will do good and provide and do the best we can. How much more, he says, will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We need to believe and have hearts full of faith that our Father in heaven, because he loves us, will hear our prayers. One of the things that is tied to this that we see from the book of 1 John, also related to this idea of prayer, is verse 22 of 1 John chapter 3. Here's what it says. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Now that goes hand in hand with what we just read. You know, if you ask, if you knock, if you seek. But what does he further say? He says, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's something to always remember. God does hear prayer. God does answer prayer. But prayer should be prayed understanding that I need to be a person who's living in accordance with God's will. That I love him, that I keep his commandments, that I obey him. I can't just live how I want to live, think that I can live in sin, and then just call upon God and everything's going to be okay. He says, we ask whatever we want. He says, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And of course, when we ask, we also know asking is to be done in accordance with the will of God, because he knows better than we do what would be best for a certain situation, best for us, for our family, for the church, whatever it might be, for our nation for that matter. And God, hearing the prayers of the righteous, and there are petitions often going up in multitudes to God at certain times because there are nationwide issues that we're praying about or brotherhood-wide issues that we're praying about. And God hears the prayers of his people and he knows what our intent is, that we want what is best. And then he, with his all-knowing nature, can answer those prayers in a way that will accomplish his will, but also taking into consideration the petitions of his children. And that's the best case scenario. God operates listening to those who are here and who call out to him. And we have that wonderful blessing and that wonderful privilege as Christians. How tragic it is that oftentimes the privilege of prayer is neglected. That there may be lengthy periods of time where we don't pray to God in a meaningful way. Not just, you know, dropping my head for a few seconds before I eat a meal, but truly communicating with my God, pouring my heart out to him, letting him know about the struggles, about the needs, about all of the various things in this life that we need to be speaking to him in regard to. And then with faith, believing that the things that we have spoken him to him concerning are things that he will respond to. And we know furthermore from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, remember the Apostle Paul? He prayed that thorn in the flesh might leave him. Three times he prayed, but the Lord's answer was, well, my grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes what we may desire may not be what God gives us, but he'll always give us what is best for us. And that's a wonderful privilege of being a child of God. Tonight, if you're here and not one of God's children, not saved from your sins, not cleansed by the blood of Christ, there's a decision that you can make to turn to God in full faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you have to turn from sin. We can't live for self. We have to live for the Lord. Submit ourselves to his will. Follow his word. He teaches us we have to confess our faith in him, that we believe Jesus is the Son of God, and then be baptized. Sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when that blood is applied, those sins are forever removed. And we can stand before the Lord justified. Now we have to continue to serve him, right? We can fall back into a way of unfaithfulness, as many examples in the scriptures show us. But he'll always receive us back if we're willing to repent. So tonight, if you're not a Christian or you need to come home to the Lord as one who has erred from the faith, we can help you with that as we stand and sing.